Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present St. Vincent and the Grenadines, A Journey Through Time, Episode 2, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 5, Colonization and the Plantation Economy. The year was 1797. The Carib Wars had come to a bitter end, and St. Vincent, once a bastion of indigenous resistance, was now firmly under British control. The echoes of battle faded, replaced by the sound of axes cutting through forests and the steady rhythm of enslaved Africans toiling in the fields. What followed was an era of transformation, one that reshaped the island's landscape, society, and economy. The lush lands of St. Vincent, so fiercely defended by the Caribs, became the foundation of a brutal plantation system that would enrich the colonizers at an unimaginable human cost. 1. The British takeover and consolidation. The aftermath of the Carib Wars. With the Caribs defeated and their leaders exiled, St. Vincent became a blank slate for British colonial ambitions. The British crown wasted no time in asserting its dominance. The fertile northern lands, once the heart of Carib settlements, were now surveyed, parceled, and sold to British planters. These lands, rich in volcanic soil, were ideal for cash crops like sugar, coffee, and cotton, commodities that fueled the growing demand in Europe. The British administration, eager to maximize profits, implemented a strict colonial governance structure. Plantations were established across the island, and laws were enacted to regulate every aspect of life, from land ownership to labor management. The indigenous identity of St. Vincent was systematically erased, replaced by a colonial society built on exploitation. The enclosure of land. One of the first acts of the British government was to formalize land ownership through titles and deeds. Vast tracts of land were allocated to wealthy British investors and absentee landlords. This marked the beginning of the enclosure system, which excluded the local population from accessing common lands for farming or fishing. The enclosure of land not only marginalized the remaining indigenous population, but also set the stage for the importation of enslaved Africans. With the local labor force depleted, the British turned to the transatlantic slave trade to meet the growing demands of the plantation economy. 2. The rise of the plantation economy. Sugar, the white gold. At the heart of St. Vincent's plantation economy was sugar, often referred to as white gold. Sugar was not just a commodity. It was the engine of the British Empire, driving trade, wealth, and power. The establishment of sugar plantations transformed the island into a patchwork of fields, mills, and factories, each meticulously designed to extract the maximum yield. The process of sugar production was grueling and dangerous. Enslaved workers labored from dawn to dusk, cutting cane, feeding it into crushing mills, and boiling the extracted juice into crystallized sugar. The mills, powered by wind or animals, were the centerpieces of the plantations, their towering structures visible for miles. The slave trade and enslaved labor. The success of the plantation economy relied entirely on the labor of enslaved Africans. Between the late 18th and early 19th centuries, thousands of men, women, and children were brought to St. Vincent in chains. These individuals, torn from their homelands, carried with them the weight of unimaginable suffering and the strength of resilience. The lives of the enslaved were marked by backbreaking labor, harsh punishments, and complete deprivation of personal freedoms. They lived in barracks under constant surveillance, their every move controlled by overseers. Yet, even in the face of such dehumanization, the enslaved found ways to resist and preserve their humanity. 3. The human cost of the plantation system. The daily lives of the enslaved. The day began before sunrise, with the sound of conch shells signaling the start of work. Enslaved workers spent hours in the fields, cutting cane under the scorching sun or tending to livestock. Women often perform dual roles, working in the fields and taking care of domestic chores in the planter's household. Punishments for even minor infractions were severe. Whippings, shackles, and public humiliations were common, serving as a brutal reminder of the power dynamics that governed plantation life. Despite this, the enslaved found moments of solace in their shared culture, music, and spiritual practices. Resistance and rebellion. Resistance took many forms, from subtle acts of defiance to outright rebellion. Enslaved workers often sabotaged equipment, slowed down production, or feigned illness to disrupt the plantation's operations. These acts, though small, were powerful assertions of agency in a system designed to strip them of autonomy. One of the most significant acts of resistance occurred in 1826, when enslaved workers on a northern plantation staged a coordinated uprising. Though ultimately suppressed, the rebellion sent shockwaves through the island, forcing the colonial authorities to reckon with the growing unrest. 4. The role of women in plantation society. Enslaved women, strength in adversity. Women on the plantations faced unique challenges. In addition to the physical demands of fieldwork, they endured sexual exploitation and the constant threat of violence. Despite this, women played a vital role in sustaining their communities. They passed down traditions, cared for children, and created networks of support that provided emotional and practical assistance. White women, the plantation mistresses. The wives and daughters of planters occupied a precarious position in plantation society. They were often tasked with managing the household and supervising domestic slaves, a role that placed them at the intersection of power and complicity. Many white women turned a blind eye to the atrocities committed by their husbands, while others actively participated in the system of oppression. 5. The economics of exploitation. The role of Britain. The wealth generated by the plantations did not stay in St. Vincent. It flowed back to Britain, enriching the aristocracy and fueling the Industrial Revolution. The profits from sugar and other cash crops were invested in factories, railroads, and urban development, creating a stark contrast between the prosperity of Britain and the poverty of the colonies. Absentee landlords. Many plantation owners lived in Britain, leaving the day-to-day operations of the estates to managers and overseers. This absenteeism created a system in which the enslaved were subjected to even harsher conditions, as managers prioritized profits over human welfare. 6. The seeds of abolition. The abolition movement. By the early 19th century, the abolitionist movement in Britain was gaining momentum. Figures like William Wilberforce and Olotta Equiano brought the horrors of slavery to public attention, forcing the British government to confront the moral implications of the system. The role of the enslaved. The enslaved themselves were instrumental in the fight for freedom. Acts of resistance, petitions, and testimonies from formerly enslaved individuals highlighted the inhumanity of the plantation system and bolstered the abolitionist cause. 7. The transition to freedom. Emancipation and its aftermath. In 1834, slavery was officially abolished across the British Empire, but the transition to freedom was far from smooth. The colonial government implemented an apprenticeship system, which required formerly enslaved individuals to continue working for their former masters for a set period. This system was rife with exploitation and only ended in 1838 after significant resistance. The rise of the peasantry. With their newfound freedom, many former slaves sought to build independent lives as small-scale farmers. They purchased plots of land, grew their own crops, and created vibrant communities that emphasized self-reliance and resilience. Conclusion: the legacy of the plantation economy. The plantation era left an indelible mark on St. Vincent. It shaped the island's landscape, economy, and social structure, creating a legacy that is still felt today. While the system was built on exploitation, the resilience and creativity of the enslaved ensured that their culture and contributions would endure. The sugarcane fields may have faded, but their stories remain etched into the soul of the island, a testament to both the horrors of oppression and the triumph of the human spirit. Chapter 6: Abolition and Emancipation. The dawn of August 1, 1834, rose over St. Vincent, its golden light spreading across the hills and valleys where countless lives had toiled under the weight of chains. But this day was unlike any other. For the enslaved Africans who made up the majority of the island's population, it marked the beginning of something extraordinary: freedom. Yet, as with all revolutions, this newfound liberty was fraught with complexities, challenges, and the scars of the past. The road from slavery to emancipation was not a single step, but a journey filled with triumphs, setbacks, and the resilience of a people determined to reclaim their humanity. 1. The road to abolition. The global abolitionist movement. The abolition of slavery in St. Vincent was not an isolated event. It was part of a larger global struggle to end the inhuman practice of slavery. In Britain, the abolitionist movement gained momentum in the late 18th century, spearheaded by figures like William Wilberforce, Thomas Clarkson, and Olotta Equiano. These individuals and their allies used speeches, publications, and petitions to expose the horrors of slavery, rallying public opinion against the system. The rise of abolitionism coincided with the growing industrialization of Britain, which began to shift the economic focus away from the plantation system. Sugar, once the lifeblood of the empire, was now being supplanted by other industries, reducing the political and economic power of the planter class. Resistance and rebellion in the Caribbean. While abolitionists in Britain fought through political channels, the enslaved in the Caribbean waged their own battle for freedom. Rebellions erupted across the islands, from the Haitian Revolution of 1791 to uprisings in Jamaica, Barbados, and Guyana. These acts of resistance demonstrated the unyielding spirit of the enslaved and made it clear that slavery was unsustainable. In St. Vincent, resistance took many forms. Acts of sabotage, desertion, and outright rebellion were common, with enslaved people risking their lives to challenge the system. Stories of bravery, like that of a woman who burned a cane field to disrupt the plantation's profits, became part of the island's oral history. 2. The Slavery Abolition Act of 1833. The role of the British Parliament. After years of pressure from abolitionists and the growing unrest in the colonies, the British Parliament passed the Slavery Abolition Act in 1833. The act declared that slavery would be abolished across the British Empire, effective August 1, 1834. However, freedom came with strings attached. The act included a provision for an apprenticeship period, during which formerly enslaved individuals were required to continue working for their former masters for a set number of years. This system was designed to ease the transition from slavery to freedom, but in practice, it was little more than a continuation of the same oppressive conditions. Compensation for slave owners. While the enslaved received their freedom, the British government allocated £20 million to compensate slave owners for the loss of their property. This massive sum was a stark reminder of how deeply entrenched the institution of slavery was in the global economy. The enslaved, on the other hand, received no reparations for the generations of labor and suffering they had endured. 3. The apprenticeship system, freedom in name only. Structure and implementation. The apprenticeship system was implemented across the British Caribbean, including St. Vincent. Under this system, formerly enslaved individuals were required to work for their former masters for 40 hours a week, often under the same brutal conditions as before. They were allowed to earn wages for additional work, but the reality was that many plantation owners exploited the system to extract as much labor as possible. Resistance and advocacy. The apprenticeship system was met with widespread resistance. Formerly enslaved individuals protested against unfair treatment, withholding their labor or fleeing plantations altogether. In some cases, they formed small, self-sustaining communities in the interior of the island, living off the land and away from the reach of the plantation economy. Abolitionists in Britain and the Caribbean continued to push for full emancipation, highlighting the abuses of the apprenticeship system in the press and parliament. Their efforts paid off, and in 1838, the system was abolished, granting full freedom to the formerly enslaved. 4. The struggle for economic independence. Land ownership and the rise of the peasantry. For many formerly enslaved individuals, true freedom meant owning land. Land ownership provided not only economic independence, but also a sense of dignity and control over their lives. However, acquiring land was no easy feat. Most of the fertile land on St. Vincent was still controlled by the plantation owners, leaving the newly freed population with limited options. Despite these challenges, many freedmen pooled their resources to purchase small plots of land. They cultivated crops like arrowroot, cassava, and yams, creating a thriving peasant economy. These small-scale farmers often faced discrimination and economic pressures from the colonial government, but their determination laid the foundation for a more self-reliant society. Challenges from the plantation economy. The plantation owners, still reliant on cheap labor, sought to maintain control over the workforce. They used tactics like high rents, inflated prices for goods, and legal restrictions to keep the freed population dependent on the plantations. These practices created a cycle of poverty that would persist for generations. 5. Social and cultural transformation. The role of religion. Religion played a significant role in the transition from slavery to freedom. Christian missionaries, who had long sought to convert the enslaved population, became key allies in the fight for education and social reform. Churches and mission schools were established across the island, providing the formerly enslaved with access to literacy and new opportunities. However, African spiritual practices persisted, blending with Christianity to create unique syncretic traditions. The Garifuna people, in particular, maintained their ancestral rituals, ensuring that their cultural heritage was not lost in the shadow of colonialism. Education and community building. Education became a priority for the freed population, who saw it as a path to empowerment and social mobility. Community schools were established, often funded and run by the freedmen themselves. These institutions became centers of learning and cultural preservation, nurturing a generation of leaders who would advocate for social and political change. 6. Political awakening and the seeds of change. Early political movements. The abolition of slavery marked the beginning of a broader struggle for civil rights and self-governance. Freedmen began to organize, forming associations and unions to advocate for fair wages, better working conditions, and political representation. These early movements laid the groundwork for the labor uprisings and independence struggles of the 20th century. The colonial response. The colonial government, wary of the growing political consciousness among the freed population, implemented policies to suppress dissent. Press restrictions, discriminatory laws, and heavy-handed policing were used to maintain control. However, these measures only fueled the determination of the newly emancipated to fight for justice. 7. The legacy of emancipation. A new identity. The abolition of slavery was a transformative moment in St. Vincent's history. It not only ended centuries of oppression, but also marked the beginning of a new chapter in which the descendants of enslaved Africans reclaimed their identity and agency. This period saw the emergence of a vibrant culture that celebrated resilience, creativity, and community. Continuing struggles. While emancipation was a monumental achievement, it did not erase the scars of slavery or the systemic inequalities that persisted in its aftermath. The legacy of the plantation economy continued to shape the island's social and economic landscape, creating challenges that would take generations to overcome. Conclusion: the price of freedom. The journey from slavery to freedom was neither simple nor complete. It was a struggle marked by resilience, sacrifice, and the unyielding spirit of a people determined to chart their own destiny. The story of abolition and emancipation in St. Vincent is a testament to the power of human will, a reminder that freedom is not given. It is fought for, earned, and preserved through generations. Chapter 7. The Rise of the Peasantry. The plantation bell had stopped ringing, and the cries of overseers had faded into the past. It was the mid-19th century, and St. Vincent was undergoing a profound transformation. For the first time, formerly enslaved men and women were able to carve out a life beyond the confines of the plantations that had defined their existence for generations. From the ashes of slavery rose a new social class, the peasantry, a resilient, resourceful community determined to create a life of independence and dignity despite the countless obstacles before them. 1. The end of apprenticeship, a gateway to opportunity. The collapse of the apprenticeship system. The abolition of the apprenticeship system in 1838 was a watershed moment for St. Vincent's formerly enslaved population. While emancipation had legally freed them, apprenticeship had kept them tethered to the plantations. When it ended, it marked the first time these individuals could choose their own paths, however limited their options might have been. The exodus from plantations was swift. Freedmen and women sought ways to distance themselves from the environments that had symbolized their oppression. Many ventured into the island's hilly interiors, where they could farm independently, away from the prying eyes of their former masters. The first steps toward independence. Freedom meant land. For generations, enslaved Africans had cultivated the fertile soil of St. Vincent for the profit of others. Now, they sought to own and work that land for themselves. However, acquiring land was no simple task. Most of the island's arable land remained in the hands of wealthy British plantation owners, and plots sold to freedmen were often of poor quality or situated in less accessible areas. Despite these challenges, many freedmen pooled their resources, saving their meager earnings to purchase small plots of land. Others relied on family networks or joined communal efforts to secure shared farmland. This marked the beginning of a peasant economy that would redefine St. Vincent's social and economic landscape. 2. The creation of the peasant economy. Crops of survival and success. The peasantry's success hinged on its ability to cultivate cash crops and subsistence crops on small parcels of land. Freedmen planted staples like cassava, yams, and plantains to feed their families, while crops such as arrowroot and cocoa were grown for export. Arrowroot, in particular, became a critical cash crop, with St. Vincent emerging as a leading producer in the region. The peasant farmers worked tirelessly, often laboring from dawn until dusk. They developed innovative techniques to maximize yields on small, often rocky plots. Terracing, intercropping, and the use of organic fertilizers were among the strategies employed to make the most of their land. Cooperatives and community support. Recognizing the power of collective action, peasant farmers formed cooperatives to pool resources, share tools, and market their crops. These cooperatives not only enhanced economic opportunities, but also fostered a sense of community and solidarity. Members of these groups supported one another in times of need, ensuring that no family faced adversity alone. One such cooperative, established in the 1850s, became legendary for its role in helping hundreds of freedmen purchase land. Its success inspired similar efforts across the island, demonstrating the strength of unity and shared purpose. 3. Challenges in the transition to freedom. Economic pressures and discrimination. The colonial government and plantation owners were not content to let the peasantry thrive unchecked. High taxes, exorbitant land prices, and limited access to credit were among the tools used to keep the freed population economically dependent. Additionally, many plantation owners deliberately withheld access to water sources, forcing peasant farmers to contend with droughts and inconsistent irrigation. Despite these obstacles, the peasantry's determination never wavered. They learned to navigate the system, finding ways to survive and even prosper under difficult conditions. For many, their success was not just a matter of survival. It was an act of defiance against the colonial system that had once enslaved them. Social stratification and land ownership. While the peasantry represented the majority of the population, a growing class of wealthier freedmen emerged, creating new layers of social stratification. These individuals, often successful farmers or business owners, became influential figures within their communities, advocating for better rights and opportunities for the broader population. At the same time, tensions between the peasantry and the plantation owners continued to simmer. Many of the island's wealthiest landowners viewed the peasantry with disdain, seeing them as competitors rather than partners in the island's economy. 4. The role of women in peasant communities. Farmers, caregivers, and leaders. Women were the backbone of the peasant economy. They worked alongside men in the fields, planting and harvesting crops, while also managing households and raising children. Their dual roles made them central to the success of peasant communities. In addition to their economic contributions, women played vital roles as community leaders and cultural bearers. They organized cooperative efforts, preserved traditional practices, and passed down stories, songs, and skills to the next generation. Their resilience and ingenuity were the glue that held families and communities together. Midwives and healers. Women also served as midwives and healers, using their knowledge of medicinal plants and traditional remedies to care for their communities. These practices, rooted in African and Carib traditions, remained essential to rural life, especially in areas with limited access to formal medical care. 5. Cultural resilience and identity. Preserving African traditions. The rise of the peasantry was not just an economic transformation, but a cultural renaissance. Freedmen and women sought to reclaim and preserve their African heritage, blending it with Caribbean influences to create a vibrant and unique cultural identity. Traditional music, dance, and storytelling flourished in peasant communities, serving as both entertainment and a means of preserving history. Drums, calabashes, and bamboo instruments were central to these performances, their rhythms echoing the heartbeat of the African diaspora. Religious syncretism. Religion played a key role in the lives of the peasantry. While many embraced Christianity, they also retained elements of African spirituality, resulting in a rich tapestry of religious practices. Ceremonies, rituals, and festivals often combined Christian and African elements, reflecting the dual heritage of the population. 6. The peasantry's impact on national development. Economic contributions. The peasantry's contributions to St. Vincent's economy were immense. Small-scale farmers not only fed the local population, but also generated export revenues through the production of cash crops. Their efforts diversified the island's economy, reducing its dependence on sugar and other plantation staples. Social and political activism. As the peasantry grew in strength and numbers, it became a driving force for social and political change. Peasant leaders emerged as advocates for land reform, fair taxation, and improved infrastructure. Their activism laid the groundwork for future movements that would challenge colonial rule and push for self-governance. One of the most notable figures of this era was a former slave-turned-farmer who petitioned the colonial government for better access to education and healthcare for rural communities. His efforts inspired a generation of leaders who carried his vision forward. 7. The legacy of the peasant era. A foundation of resilience. The rise of the peasantry marked a turning point in St. Vincent's history. It demonstrated the strength and resilience of a people who, despite centuries of oppression, refused to be defined by their past. The peasantry's achievements were a testament to their ingenuity, determination, and unwavering spirit. Continuing challenges. While the peasantry succeeded in carving out a life of independence, they continued to face systemic challenges, from land shortages to political marginalization. These issues would persist into the 20th century, shaping the island's ongoing struggle for equality and justice. Conclusion: A new dawn. As the peasantry took root in St. Vincent, they transformed the island into a symbol of resilience and hope. Their story is one of triumph over adversity, a testament to the human spirit's capacity to rise, rebuild, and thrive. Though the journey was far from over, the seeds they planted, both literally and metaphorically, laid the foundation for a brighter future. Chapter 8: Colonial Governance and Early Political Movements. The early 20th century in St. Vincent was a time of growing discontent. The legacy of colonial rule loomed large over the island, shaping its economy, society, and governance. Though emancipation had ended slavery decades earlier, the structures of colonial domination persisted, leaving the majority of Vincentians disenfranchised and impoverished. Amidst this inequality, the seeds of political awareness and resistance began to sprout, eventually giving rise to movements that would challenge the colonial system and pave the way for change. 1. Colonial rule and the governance structure. The role of the British Crown. After the abolition of slavery, St. Vincent remained a British colony governed by an appointed governor and a small legislative council dominated by plantation owners and wealthy elites. These institutions prioritized the interests of the British Empire and the colonial elite, often at the expense of the majority population. The governor wielded significant power, acting as both the head of the executive branch and the representative of the crown. His primary responsibility was to ensure that the colony remained profitable, often through the extraction of resources and the enforcement of labor policies designed to benefit the plantation economy. The exclusion of the masses. The vast majority of Vincentians, freedmen, peasants, and laborers, had no political representation. Voting rights were restricted to property owners and those who paid a certain level of taxes, effectively excluding most of the population. This lack of representation created deep resentment among the working class, who felt the full brunt of colonial policies without any voice in their creation. 2. Life under colonial governance. Economic inequality. The economic system in St. Vincent remained heavily skewed toward the interests of plantation owners. While the peasantry had made significant strides in establishing an independent economy, they faced significant challenges, including high taxes, limited access to land, and discriminatory trade policies that favored large estates. The colonial government imposed export taxes on crops like arrowroot and bananas, cutting into the already meager profits of small farmers. Meanwhile, public infrastructure such as roads, schools, and healthcare facilities remained underdeveloped, particularly in rural areas where the majority of the population lived. Social stratification. Colonial society in St. Vincent was deeply stratified along lines of race and class. The white elite occupied the highest rungs of society, enjoying privileges and access to resources denied to the majority population. A small class of mixed-race individuals occupied an intermediary position, often serving as a buffer between the elite and the masses. The vast majority of Vincentians, descendants of enslaved Africans and indigenous Caribs, occupied the lowest social tier, enduring poverty, limited opportunities, and systemic discrimination. 3. The rise of political awareness. The role of education. Education played a critical role in fostering political awareness among the Vincentian population. Mission schools, established by religious organizations, provided basic literacy and numeracy skills to children from poor families. While these schools were limited in scope and resources, they exposed a generation of Vincentians to ideas of justice, equality, and self-determination. By the early 20th century, a small but growing number of educated Vincentians began to question the legitimacy of colonial rule. They read newspapers, discussed politics in community gatherings, and began to organize around shared grievances. The influence of regional movements. St. Vincent was not isolated in its struggle. Across the Caribbean, similar colonies were grappling with the legacies of slavery and colonialism. The labor unrest and political activism seen in Jamaica, Trinidad, and Barbados inspired Vincentians to take action. News of labor strikes, union movements, and calls for reform spread across the region, creating a sense of shared purpose among Caribbean peoples. 4. Early labor movements and resistance. The plight of agricultural workers. The plantation economy relied heavily on the labor of agricultural workers, who endured low wages, poor working conditions, and exploitative practices. Many of these workers were seasonal laborers, hired during the harvest and dismissed afterward, leaving them with little stability or security. In the 1930s, economic conditions worsened due to the global Great Depression. The collapse of export markets for crops like bananas and sugar led to widespread unemployment and poverty. These hardships created a fertile ground for labor unrest. The 1935 labor riots. One of the most significant events in St. Vincent's history occurred in 1935 when a series of labor riots erupted across the island. Sparked by grievances over low wages and poor working conditions, the riots quickly grew into a broader expression of frustration with colonial rule. The epicenter of the unrest was Kingstown, where workers marched through the streets demanding fair wages, better treatment, and political representation. The colonial government responded with force, deploying police and military units to suppress the protests. Dozens were arrested and several were killed, but the riots left an indelible mark on the island's political landscape. 5. The emergence of political leaders. George Charles and the formation of political organizations. In the aftermath of the labor riots, several charismatic leaders emerged to channel the growing discontent into organized political action. George Charles, a schoolteacher turned activist, became one of the most prominent figures of this era. He recognized the need for a united front to challenge the colonial system and advocate for the rights of the working class. In 1951, Charles founded the St. Vincent and the Grenadines Labor Party, SVGLP, the island's first political party. The SVGLP focused on issues such as land reform, workers' rights, and universal suffrage. Its formation marked a turning point in Vincentian politics, giving the masses a platform to voice their demands. E.T. Joshua and the Peasant Movement. Another key figure was Ebenezer Theodore, E.T. Joshua, a fiery orator and advocate for the peasant class. Joshua's speeches resonated deeply with rural communities, who saw in him a champion of their struggles. He would go on to play a pivotal role in the island's journey toward self-governance. 6. The fight for universal suffrage. A long-awaited victory. One of the central demands of early political movements was the right to vote. For decades, voting rights in St. Vincent were restricted to property owners, effectively excluding the majority of the population. Activists argued that true democracy could not exist without universal suffrage. Their efforts bore fruit in 1951 when the colonial government introduced universal adult suffrage, granting the right to vote to all Vincentians over the age of 21. This victory was celebrated as a major milestone in the fight for equality and representation. 7. The legacy of early political movements. Laying the foundation for independence. The early political movements in St. Vincent laid the groundwork for the island's eventual independence in 1979. They demonstrated the power of collective action and the importance of grassroots organizing in challenging colonial authority. a new political consciousness. These movements also fostered a new political consciousness among Vincentians, emphasizing the importance of self-determination and the need to address systemic inequalities. The leaders and activists of this era inspired future generations to continue the struggle for justice and equity. Conclusion: the dawn of change. The rise of political movements in St. Vincent was not just a response to colonial oppression. It was a testament to the resilience and determination of a people who refused to accept their circumstances. From the labor riots of 1935 to the establishment of political parties and the achievement of universal suffrage, this era marked the beginning of a journey toward self-governance and national pride. The story of this chapter is not just about politics. It is about the human spirit's capacity to demand change and envision a better future.